I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hands. We've gathered together to remember, to honor the memory of Reverend Richard Miller, to celebrate his life, but to grieve his painful, sudden departure. We extend our sincere Christian sympathies to his wife, Maria, to his daughter, Marie, to his son, Tom, to the Carbondale Congregation of Christ that he served so faithfully over the past several years. We mourn with those who mourn. We're deeply saddened by the departure of our dear brother. He served his wife well, his children well, his extended family, the congregations that he served faithfully, our classes and federation of churches. And although it's sad to bid him farewell, we are grateful for the many ways in which Christ left an impression of his love through Reverend Miller in our lives. Please join me in prayer. Let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, we come in the name of your Son, the resurrection and the life, through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and we plead, please meet us in your tender mercy as we gather together in our sorrow. Father in heaven, we confess that you are sovereign, that from you, through you, and to you are all things. We cast our cares on you, knowing that you care for us. And we are thankful this morning that even though we grieve and mourn, we may remember and rejoice that Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, has victoriously triumphed over death and has brought immortality and life to light. Father in heaven, we pray that you would comfort and be a husband to this widow, a father to the fatherless. Please grant your perfect peace in the valley for Maria, Marie, and Tom, and the Carbondale congregation. Indeed, all of us, O Lord, as we look to you, to whom else shall we go? You alone, in your Son, through your Spirit, have the wonderful words of life. We thank you so much, dear Father in heaven, for the impression of your love that you have left through Reverend Miller in our lives. And we ask, dear Father in heaven, that you would grant us the full assurance of faith and hope that he is safe in the arms of Jesus before the throne of God above. Father in heaven, we miss him. And we look forward to a family reunion at that sea of crystal where saints in glory stand. So be our strong tower above us, our sanctuary of peace around us, and that solid rock of unfailing love underneath our feet of faith as we feel so insecure and so vulnerable. Replace our fears with faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whose mighty and merciful name we pray. Amen. Let us sing together a favorite hymn and song of Reverend Miller and the family, It Is Well With My Soul, number 476. Number 476. And if you're able, let's stand together and sing those stanzas of that wonderful hymn. May that give us comfort and peace as we sing the stanzas, It Is Well With My Soul, number 476. draw strength in our time of sadness from God's exceedingly great and precious promises. They are yes and amen, because Christ is risen indeed. Isaiah 25, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces, and the reproach of his people he will take away from all the earth. It will be said on that day, Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. And let us rejoice in his salvation. The Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 14, For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord of the dead and of the living. This time we'd like to welcome some of Rick's his children. First of all, we'll ask Maria to come forward and share some family reflections. Welcome.
I hope I make it through this. I stand before you today with a broken heart, a broken heart that only my Jesus can mend. And I know that many of you feel the same way. When my dad came here, he was hurt and he was wounded from the past. He didn't exactly know what God's plan was, other than the pure fact that brought him here. You guys made him your family. You made him loved more than any other congregation ever had. You cherished my dad, my mom, and my brother. And for that, there is not enough thanks in the world I can give you. Whenever I would ask my dad when he would move back to Michigan, he would tell me he could never leave here unless Jesus took him, or he retired because he was blind. And even then, he said it would be difficult leaving. You are the way a church should be, a family. My dad would jokingly say when asked how the church was, Well, they haven't thrown me out yet. Followed up with, I think these people actually really like me. Mr. Frank Tedesco wrote my dad a note every time he came back from out of town, and my dad kept every single note. And I just wanted to read one of those. It said, Hi, Pastor Rick. Welcome home. We praise and thank you for giving you the safe trip to Michigan and the opportunity to spend time with your family. As you get back to the saddle, may the Lord bless you in your time of study and prayer. And may the Lord be pleased to bless the ministry of our church here in Carbondale. In Christ Frank. My dad kept every note that they date back to 2016. What more could a pastor want than to be loved by his congregation? And that's what you did, his family. The past year was difficult for my dad. The loss of his mom in September of 2020 consumed him at times. He kept telling me this exact phrase that one day, Marie, I'm going to be with Jesus and there ain't no better place. Then he could say that with this big smile. He held on to that comfort the comfort that one day all the pain and loss and suffering would be gone. After the loss of my grandma Cordian, who's my mom's mom, who truly made such a spiritual impact on my dad, to my dad's stepfather, and then his mom, seeing Jesus never seemed more sweeter, and it was never talked about more in our home. My dad was ready. He had fought the good fight. He had the most sacrificial wife to love him over his time on earth for 38 years. He raised two children who love the Lord. My dad was never afraid to speak against injustice or sin. He was a man of the Word, a man who would read for hours studying while listening to classical music. I can still remember looking into my dad's study at our Harvester home in Grand Rapids. Classical music blasted. I swear he was part deaf for many years for it. His back to me, every wall covered in books. I remember a time my dad was tiling the basement of that home and he wanted me to practice reading. Instead of grabbing a children's book, like a normal parent, he grabbed a John Calvin commentary. There were lots of tears shed from that from me, but it will be a memory I will cherish for the rest of my life. I will forever remember the fact I had a daddy that never forgot to kiss me goodnight when I lived at home. He was a daddy who, whenever he saw me again since I left home, would cry and hug me every time because of how much he missed me. He always told me that him and I were so similar because we wore our hearts on our sleeves. His sauce, no matter how many times I make it, I know it will never taste like his. His ability to talk through walls, his loud and contagious laugh will so be missed. But let us encourage each other with the truth that for the believer, we are citizens of heaven, just passing through this life. And my dad knew that. My dad had hope that these present troubles of this life were not to be compared to the glory that awaited him in heaven. Hope is a powerful thing. What is your hope in? Your health is not your own. It belongs to Jesus. Our bodies, our souls all belong to Christ. There is no amount of vaccines, medications, herbal supplements, ventilators, hospitals, doctors that can change the fact that when it's your time to go, it's your time. Your hope and mine cannot be of this world. It must be in Jesus. And like my dad would say, look to Jesus. Look to Christ. A number of years ago, I was on YouTube listening to the last conference of a young woman who had gave before she passed away. She quoted a Rwandan man's journal who in 1980 was forced by his tribe to either renounce Christ or to face certain death. When refused to renounce Christ, he was killed on the spot. The night before his death, he had written a piece that is titled The Fellowship of the Unashamed. It reads, I am part of the Fellowship of the Unashamed. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I am finished and done with low living, sight walking, small planes, smooth knees, colorless dreams, chintzy giving, and dwarfed goals. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, plaudits, or popularity. I now live by His presence. Lean by faith, love by patience, lift by prayer, and labor by power. My teeth is set, my gate is fast, my goal is heaven. My road is narrow, my way is rough, my companions are few, my guide reliable, my mission clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, deterred, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of adversity, negotiate at the table of the enemy, or ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must go until heaven returns, give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until He comes. And when He comes to get His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. My colors will be clear. My dad's colors were clear. His mission was finished, and he will forever dwell in the house of the Lord. My hope and prayer is that you can say those same words, that you will accept Jesus into your heart and have that peace that surpasses all understanding, even unto death. I'll finish by reading a portion of scripture that my dad had read at my daughter's graveside service back in 2018 to encourage us on our journey ahead. It's 1 Corinthians 15:50-58. It reads, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit the incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gave us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain."
I'm going to keep this short since it's by the grace of God that I'm able to speak. I'd like to begin by reading two small portions of Scripture. First, a single verse from Isaiah that I've just been repeating to myself over and over these past couple weeks and has been an encouragement for me. Isaiah 41:10, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And the second passage being Romans 15, verses 4 to 6. "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 3 weeks ago, I would have never thought that I'd be up here in my father's shoes. I'm literally wearing his boots. And those of us with faith in Christ, we first and foremost find our strength and encouragement in Christ and through his word. Outside of faith in Christ, there is no hope, no life, and no purpose. On behalf of our family, we'd like to say thank you for all the prayers and support. I told my father that with the email list alone, there were thousands of believers all over the world praying for him, and those prayers were answered. As a family, there were many times in regards to this situation where the Lord blessed us and my father. The Lord granted my father with no fear of death, because he knew where he was going. This might sound odd, but I can remember as a boy my father saying to our family not to put him on a vent, not to put him on a tube, not to do any of that stuff. And when it's his time to go, it's his time to go, and to let him be with the Lord. It was very common for us to talk about death and in the house, and I think that really has given me a sense of peace in regards to my father's passing, as well as giving me the strength to say what needed to be said to the doctors and the nurses. The Lord has provided me with a great peace and has just incredibly blessed my decision-making. A newfound responsibility has come into my life, and throughout this whole situation, my steps and my words were guided. In the past, I would weep simply thinking of my father's death. And while I have a great sadness, I have a knowledge that it is temporary. My heart is not hardened, but rather I have hope in Christ and through his word. Now I have an even greater appreciation for the things I have been able to do with my father and the lessons that he taught me. Many of those lessons were not only in regards to Scripture and the church and right from wrong, but in regards to tiling and plumbing and things of that nature and just doing everything we could at the house. My father would prefer that I only talk about Jesus, but I will touch on one aspect of my father's character that I know I'm convicted of and that many of us should also be reminded of. It could never be said that my father was a coward. He always spoke up and spoke the truth. My father would always first talk about the sin in his life, the things that he struggled with, before he would talk and confront people about the sin in theirs, which many of us often do not like to hear. He also never backed down or hesitated to speak out against the tyranny that is all too common around us. While my father didn't enjoy confrontation, he never backed away from it. This characteristic made something as simple as going to the grocery store or simply going in public potentially more exciting than it needed to be. But with speaking the truth, there comes a price. My father paid that price often in his secular work, in the factory, and as a police officer down in Dallas, Texas. Most notably in my life, he paid that price in the church. Through these experiences, my father always took care of his family. It strengthened his faith in the Lord, and the Lord blessed him tenfold. When my father came to Covenant URC here in Carbondale, it was the best thing that ever happened to him. He would always come home after church on Sunday before we'd have our weekly big bowl of linguine after church and just say how thankful he was for the church and that we were here. And my sister touched on this as well, but we, talking as a family, have come to the conclusion that it's probably best that my father leaves here in a casket because there'd just about be no other way. That's simply how kind not only this congregation, but also this community has been to my father. I couldn't have asked for anything more from my father. To use a Cool Hand Luke reference, I haven't had my mind right for the majority of my life, and some people here know that better than others. There has been countless times where I've chose to learn things the hard way, and often had to learn them multiple times. My father corrected me, never gave up on me, and help to mold me into who I am today. To conclude, in death, I am reminded that we are simply passing through, that this is not our home, and that this life is the shortest thing that we will ever do. He was such a great father, I couldn't have asked for anything more from him, and I can only pray that someday I'm able to provide that same experience to properly fill his shoes. My father's lifelong goals were accomplished. He was faithful to his church, his children. He was faithful to his wife. And most importantly, he was faithful to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. And you're certainly your father's son, sense of humor, but also of spirit-fueled conviction about what matters most. The family asked me to read a letter written by Reverend Paul Murphy. And I quote, "I am deeply grieved by the death of my good friend Rick Miller. I participated in his ordination at the Cutlerville Church. Later, he was hired at the Dutton Church to assist me in pastoral work. He did so well that the church called him to full-time labors. It was during this time that our friendship grew. We discovered a natural love of theology and a shared love for the Savior who had rescued us. That didn't mean we agreed on everything. We used to fight all the time about theology. As a matter of fact, the administrative assistant at Dutton used to watch the smoke come from under the door while we argued in typical Italian style, loud and boisterous. She thought we were going to have a fist fight most often, She eventually learned that only meant that we loved each other. After all, that is how Italians talk. We would always end our discussions, quote-unquote, by going out for Chinese buffet or pizza pie. I loved Rick for his love for Jesus, his knowledge of historical theology, and his love for people. All of his parishioners knew that Rick and Maria cared deeply and personally about each and every one of them. He cherished Maria and his children, Marie and Tom. Rick was a devoted family man. Maria, Marie, and Tom, please know that all who knew Rick are mourning with you and praying for you. We all share in your loss. May the God of all comfort uphold and strengthen you as you walk through this dark providence. Lean on and into his great and precious promise never to leave or forsake you. Rick, I love you. I look forward to being with you for all eternity. Until I get there, don't have the Apostle Paul answer all your questions. I want to hear his answers, too, so we can get all our arguments settled. I'm sure he will agree with me, and I want you to hear that. I had a lot of questions, and Rick always seemed to have the answers. Almost 26 years ago, I was going into seminary. I knew Rick through my sister and brother-in-law fairly well, and a lot of questions about theology and doctrine. Of course, that was right up Rick's alley, and if you remember, Maria, he took me up to his attic, your attic, and he got some boxes of books out, and he just gave them to me for free, and I still have them on my library shelf. Rick had answers to questions. I had a question about how I'm going to be transporting back and forth to seminary, and I had to sell my car, and he had a B2200 Mazda truck, and he had the answer for me. He sold that truck to me. And it served me well. I had lots of questions about the love of God, and Rick always directed me specifically to the grace of God, the grace of God for radical sinners like me, like him, like all of us. I came to classes back in October 19 and 20, just a month ago, with some more questions, and Rick, as has been shared, always had answers. We sat together for lunch, one-on-one, in his office. His answer was regeneration. At the classes meeting, Rick led us in devotions, and his devotional was on the gospel, the good news, according to John chapter 14. Focusing on verse 6, but I'm going to read together. Let's hear God's word from chapter 14 at verse 1 and receive it with our believing hearts. I pray and plead, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and to our lives. Jesus had answers for his disciples. His disciple Thomas, he gave him the answer to Thomas's question. We all have those questions today in our deep sadness and incredible painful loss. Where do we go from here? What is the way? And Jesus Christ comes to us as Rick often came to me with solid answers to our personal questions. And as Rick shared in our class this meeting, that Jesus Christ is saying emphatically, I am the only way, the only truth, and the only life. That's the only way you're going to get to the Father. That's the only way I arrived in my Father's house the day that I died. I am. Jesus Christ is God Himself, the very self-existent One from everlasting to everlasting, who has come in space and time, in the flesh, to be the way. And because He's the way, He's the truth. And because He's both the way and the truth, He is the life Himself. He is the way. He is the great I am, because you are not, and I'm not either. By nature, we are lost. We cannot find the way to the Father. We cannot find, as blind sinners, the way to the Father's house. And Jesus Christ says to you and to me, I am the way. I was Rick's way to the Father's house, the one and the only path to safekeeping. I am the way, because we all get lost. There's a way that seems right to us, the Bible says, but in the end it always leads to death. So Jesus Christ says, come to me, come to the Father, I'm the way home, I'll be the door through which you can enter. And you don't have to wait immediately, automatically, right away. You can know the faith. You can know the peace that you're heading home to the Father's house. Because Jesus is not only the way, He's also, according to that wonderful word of life that gives us hope right now, He is the truth. Why do we need Him to be the truth? He is the great I am. For what you are not and I am not, we are by nature liars. All men are liars, the Bible says. I am. You are. We are all self-deceived. We believe a dangerous and a deadly lie. What is it that I can make a better God than God can? Jesus says, I will be the truth for you. And the truth of the matter is, the truth about grace that Rick shared with me. Is that there's always more forgiveness in me than there's failure or sin in you. What Jesus says settles it. He's the truth. He proved it. He rose from the dead. He's the life Himself. The resurrection and the life went to the cross. He's going to the Father's house, but where is He going? He's going to the cross that with His wood and with the nails of that cross, He was a builder, just like Rick. I remember Rick showing me the tile he was laying in all of these rehab works he took over and rebuilding, rehabbing his homes. Jesus Christ is that master carpenter, right? With nails and wood, He purchased for Rick and for all who trust in Him. Life. Life abundant, life eternal, because Jesus Christ entered the home of death and He rose victoriously on the cross, was hanging His lifeless body, but as it went into the tomb, He rose victoriously and killed death, winning life for you and for me, for all who trust in Him as our great I am. What's the way out of here? Rick had the answers. Jesus was his answer. Is he your answer? As a family, as Jesus Christ comforts you as the man of sorrows and as your resurrection and life, giving you hope and help. He comforts you, and let the memory of all of these wonderful remembrances of how he was loved and cared for, deeply respected and loved by this congregation and many other congregations, by his colleagues in ministry, put wind in the sails to keep sailing home to that safe haven of rest. Where do we go from here as the Carbondale congregation? The Lord has called our under-shepherd that we loved so much, who served us faithfully so many years. Where do we go from here? Jesus says, I am the one and only way for you too. And just as he came to bind up your broken hearts, and just as he sought to wipe away your tears, just as he sought to mend broken hearts and lives. I was on a church visit October 19 with another colleague in the ministry, and heard of how the elder said, Reverend Miller always pointed us to Christ. He's pointing us to Christ. He pointed us to Christ at classes. And he was visiting with the young adults here and showing and holding out Christ to the nursing home, right in the community. The way forward is realizing that Jesus Christ right now is bathing Reverend Miller with that same grace with which he ministered to all of us. And Jesus Christ says, I'm the way for Carbondale. The work goes forward. The gospel goes on. Press on. Because I'm the way, your truth, and the life by which you live, by faith in me, the Son of God, who loves you and gave my life for you. Jesus furnishes Rick's home now in glory with endless joy, and he locks out all of the pain and all of the sadness. And if I may be so open and honest, and Rick shared with me basically just like, you know, it never goes easy for me. God says, Miller, you're learning the hard way. It was the way of the cross. But he was discovering in the way of the cross, the way of the crown. And our experience is the endless glory. When I left classes about a month ago, as in there, Rick told me about the answer is regeneration. When I left classes, as was shared earlier, Rick said to me, Kevin, I love you. I said, Rick, I love you. That's the way. The love of Christ, sharing the love of Jesus with one another. As we give one another in the Lord our broken, breaking hearts. Is Jesus your one and only way? Out of hell, into heaven. Out of being lost, to going home to be with the Lord. Out of living lies, and discovering the truth that sets guilty sinners free. Knowing the peace with God, the peace of God that passes all understanding, because your sin, just like Rick's, was pardoned, paid in full. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a testimony and legacy. Jesus says to you and to me, I am the one and only way, the one and only truth, and the one and only life. And when you have me, you're on your way to where I am, the Father's house. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty Father in heaven, thank you for being so tender and kind, ministering to us the grace that our brother, friend, colleague, father, brother, husband ministered to us. Overcome all of our doubts. Rub into our grief the living hope that our Savior is alive and that Rick is more alive than we are right now. Holy Spirit, be our comforter and counselor. Lord Jesus, please be the way, the one and only way, the great I am for all that we are not, that we may leave here with a lasting legacy of your hope and peace. Enfold us in your arms of love. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would convince us that your love never ends for Rick and for your children, because it never began. O God, hear. O Lord, answer. May we feel your hand in ours, leading us from faith to sight, from prayer to praise. In the name of Jesus, our resurrection and life, amen. Let's confess together the good news of the gospel summarized for us in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. Lord's Day 1, that's in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, and it's on page 872. Page 872. And we'd like to stand together, if you're able, to please and confess together as I'll ask the question. Please reply with the provided answer, and right after that we'll be singing together. Brothers and sisters, family, friends, congregation of Christ, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong, body and soul, in life and in death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with his precious blood and has delivered me from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ by his Holy Spirit also assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. Let us sing together number 473, By the Sea of Crystal. We sing together the stanzas. Let us encourage one another and glorify the Lord in song by singing the stanzas, By the Sea of Crystal. notice I forgot a song. I apologize. We're going to sing that in a moment. Let's receive the parting blessing of our risen Savior. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. Let us sing together at this time, Amazing Grace. It's found in page 433. Page 433 in the songbook, Amazing Grace. There'll be a luncheon following the service. And then right after the singing of Amazing Grace, we'll like to welcome the funeral director up at that time with any further announcements. Amazing Grace. Let's sing for joy.